I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, guys. And by the way, one of the bigger travesties pregame is that they had Jenna sitting far away from Mike DeFabo, which was just uncalled for.
Separation anxiety, yes.
He bugs the hell out of her enough.
Yes, that's probably. She probably enjoyed the privacy.
Yeah.
All right. That said, where do we start? I guess. Okay. Let's start with the big picture, not last night. The big picture. Is the NHL have it wrong in that they allowed a series to be decided on one of their stars getting hit in the head? Or is that just part of doing business in this league?
So I think all headshots should be a penalty. I mean, how many sticks are intentional? Very few, but yet it's still a penalty. If there's a headshot, it should be a penalty. I think it's funny that the NHL is so worried about player safety that if a guy's helmet comes off, they've got to immediately scamper to the bench. But yet if someone takes a headshot, it's probably not going to be a penalty. That to me is odd.
At the same time, sorry, Jeff, while that was the turning point in the series, it's also not the reason they lost the series. We can't this morning find one in particular thing to point at and say, that's why they lost the series. That's why they collapsed in games 5 and 6 and lost the third period lead in game 7. Can you put your finger on any one thing?
Well, special teams are obviously huge. 5 goals, 2 shorties. Lost momentum on power play. Now, that being said, obviously they had 2 goals last night, and if not a shorty, right on the edge of being a shorty with Evan Rodriguez. But I think overall the special teams let them down, even if it wasn't a direct goal. Those 5-on-3 opportunities, those are, you know, that's where you can build on leads, and they just failed to capitalize on them. Yeah, there are other reasons. Obviously, Crosby going out, obviously having your third string goalie, those are big factors too. But within the game, those not taking advantage and losing momentum on special teams, when you have as talented a team as they have, as currently constructed, is a huge reason why they lost.
Duncan, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show, Jeff Hathorn joins. You said as currently constructed, it's about, a lot of people think, about to be deconstructed. Which pieces aren't here, particularly of the big three moving forward, and why?
Man, there are a lot of decisions to be made here. And I think the first one that we can't overlook is that the Fenway Sports Group has to decide if Ron Hextall is worthy of being the general manager next year. I think that is a big question. And if that's the case where they don't want Hextall, they've got to make that decision fairly quickly because it's obviously going to cascade into thoughts on other players. I don't think Chris Letang will be back next year. I think his market value is going to be too high. And that goes back to the GM. Where are the Penguins at? Are they at a point where they need to start thinking about getting younger guys, or are they at the point where they want to make one more run with this group? How much less will Malkin take? What's Brian Russ asking price? I mean, Raquel, who knows there, but the big three and Rust, those are some big questions that they have to get filled. And again, I think it starts with GM. I think it's a lock that Ron Hextall is going to be back.
Well, have you gotten any indications that there's a level of dissatisfaction within the organization at the job that he's done?
There's a level of dissatisfaction with a lot going on in the organization, from the team president to the team general manager. And I think there are going to be some really tough conversations internally to see what happens with this team, not just on the ice, but in the front office.
All right. Well, okay. We need to dial down on this just a little bit. Whenever the new ownership then took over, tell me what you know here. Was there a fact-finding mission done by their people? Did they survey the whole scene? Who essentially would be unhappy?
Yeah, I mean, what the Fenway Sports Group did is what any new owner did, and they went and looked through the entire organization, and they're looking at areas that they think they can improve. And obviously, four straight first-round losses. I think they're evaluating Hextall. And my point is there's not 100% confidence that that's the right choice. You're looking at a mega group that had some incredible experience across multiple sports that may be looking to upgrade in a couple of those positions.
Jeff Hathorn with us after covering the game at Madison Square Garden last night. Let's stay in that vein then. Let's stay in the front office vein because this is big, Jeff. They've also got the role of CEO to fill, which I imagine will then trickle down to president and GM, which you're indicating could have some question marks hanging over them. So when does that happen? Because you mentioned figuring out the general manager position is the first step in getting ready for the offseason, obviously a very big offseason, but wouldn't figuring that out only come after you figure out the person who's actually going to be running the entire operation?
Right, and obviously, normally that's the way it transpires. Every once in a while, you'll see a GM before a president if they decide to make a change there. But you're right. But I also think that this group has been talking about it, thinking about it. From all we understand about this group, is they're very prepared, they're very detailed, and they're not going to leave things dangling. So I'm sure they're having those discussions. And you know, it's going to be something that'll be quicker than what we've seen with the Steelers because the dynamic internally is a lot different, obviously, from an ownership standpoint. So, you know, free agency, draft, I mean, draft next month, free agency, and, a week or so after that. So they've got some decisions to make. And obviously, we know the names that are involved in their legacy in this town and on this sport.
Jeff Hathorn joins. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We see that the entities that this Fenway Sports Group holds, it doesn't ring true to me at all that if they are going to rebuild, they're going to want some long, protracted, let's do it, hit bottom, and do it right, and come on. This is going to be, if we got to lose, maybe we'll lose real quickly and nominally and just come right back. Is that the tack that you think they would take?
And guys, I look at it, and I don't know if you have similar thoughts. They're kind of in a situation like the Steelers have been in the last few years is, you know, you've got your captain that you want to make runs with when you have a player of that level that you think you can find magic. But is that what they have to figure out is, can they find magic with this current group, or can they keep Crosby? Can they make some shrewd off-season moves? Probably not trades because there's not a lot of commodity, but can they find some free agents they think are maybe one big one and a few that are undervalued that can rejuvenate this team quickly? I think that's where they're at. I don't foresee them keeping Sid and then blowing the rest of it up and starting with a bunch of 22-year-olds. But I think you'll see a little infusion of that, along with them trying to convince a free agent or two with name to join Sidney Crosby on a quest for a cup.
Jeff, could they do to Evgeny Malkin this offseason something similar to what the Steelers did to Ben Roethlisberger a year ago, which is make him an offer that they think is high enough to not blatantly out-and-out disrespect him, but low enough that they suspect he wouldn't take it? And could they then be staring down the barrel of a similar decision in Evgeny Malkin, a 36-year-old Evgeny Malkin, deciding, well, if he's going to play hockey at all and he still wants to play hockey, the only place he wants to play is Pittsburgh, regardless of the number?
Yeah, I think that's an absolute possibility. And it's been reported, you know, that he would be willing to take less than what his, you know, $9 million plus contract is for this year, that maybe even a couple of million less to stay in Pittsburgh. He likes Pittsburgh. He likes not having to be the guy. I think that absolutely is an option. Obviously, whoever the GM is, if it is Hextall, has to decide that that's a smart financial move for the team. I mean, it's really going to be a fascinating offseason. And, you know, if you look at Geno's numbers, and yeah, some injuries have played in there. These last couple of years, just strictly numbers, have been, you know, the worst stretch of his career. And obviously that would make sense at his age. Is he still worth taking a couple million less at $6 or $7 million if you're a team that's trying to get younger or what you're trying to do? There's a lot of decisions here.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Martz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. This is fascinating to me, all of it, in moving forward. Now, continuing in that vein, What do you make of, and this is, you kind of got, they played games, obviously, a lot of them since then, but the Friedman and Carter contract, could that serve as, I don't want to say a tug of war between the general manager, the president, and the ownership group, but is that something that was, that the ownership group can point to and say, well, we don't like that?
Sure. Sure they could. You know, at the time, I think most people looked favorably because of the postseason that Jeff Carter had that, okay, they're going to make a run. They've got Jeff Carter back. But there is the flip side of why are you signing a 36-year-old to a couple-year contract? Is there, you know, are there other reasons other than just the pure on ice? Why are we, when we need to get younger, why are we investing in that? And, I mean, maybe not Friedman as much, but, yeah, I think the ownership group could absolutely scrutinize the Jeff Carter signing.
Where do they go first, I guess, this offseason, Jeff? Is it, if they have to prioritize Malkin, Letang, and Rust, taking all into account that you've talked about, Malkin willing to take a little bit less to stay in Pittsburgh, Letang probably looking to maximize market value with several good years left, and Rust obviously looking to cash in on one big contract, being as he's almost 30 years old, where do they prioritize?
So I think they have to find out what Rust's numbers, what his number is. But I think the most of the three, the one that's going to be highest on the list is Chris Letang as far as value or interest from other teams. Letang at 35, you know, he's top five in minutes, top eight in points for defensemen, top six in assists. I mean, the guy can still play the game at a high level. He can quarterback a power play. And I know he's been he can make those mistakes, too, that really get you frustrated. But there will be interest in a defenseman that can play that kind of minutes with that kind of pedigree. You know, of those guys, that's going to be the toughest one to sign based on money, because there may be a team, Montreal, that will offer a lot of money.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.